Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Deep Fat Fried. How's everybody doing out there today?
Gee whiz, I hope they're doing good, TJ.
Me too.
Can I make a statement, guys?
Yeah.
I love our fan base. Some of the most kind, generous, empathetic, caring people you'll ever meet
and
in
the
your
smartest,
lives.
Too.
The smartest people. You know, sometimes we
Not
say some things that
looking.
Are a little bit off base and they correct us like that. Because they're just whip smart.
Joking.
Whip smart they are.
We're just joking with you.
Whoopity doo da day.
I sure do love them.
So, Paul, I issued to you an apology.
Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
TJ, you're not on bended knee either.
Yep. All right, so
insincere.
In the pre-post show, I issued an apology to Paul, and he said, I got to repeat the apology here on the main show. So I'm going to do just that. Paul, sorry I fucked your mom, bitch! Your deformities episode fucking sucked dick, Paul! Your deformities episode was shit, Paul! And you know what? It takes a real man to get up in this bitch and to make a real episode on deformities that's worth a fuck! That's worth the time and energy of our beloved patrons!
Fair enough.
Let's see it. No, honestly,
Let's see it, TJ.
Now, a lot of people gave Paul shit for his deformity episode. I don't know why. It was a normal length episode.
I guess a lot of our fans have a pet deformity that they really like that wasn't represented or something.
So, I mean, I don't know. But
did you find
kept
all the
saying,
pet deformities, TJ?
People kept saying that, you know, it was like Paul didn't do an adequate job. He didn't cover enough or whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'll do a fucking sequel. I'll do a follow-up.
Misshapen episode,
I got to say, Paul didn't really leave as much on the table as you guys made it out to sound. I mean, there's enough for a part two.
I'm not known for leaving a lot of food on the table, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't leave a lot of meat on the bone, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
I know
a hungry
what you mean,
guy.
Paul. I know what you mean. It's fat jokes, right?
Is that what it is?
I guess. I don't know.
I just thought Paul was just describing.
I can't distinguish anymore. I can't tell the difference between a fat joke and just a statement of just blatant reality, you know what I mean?
One of the things Paul covered in his episode is this condition.
Polydactyly.
Yep. This is a condition called polydactyly.
It's actually pretty cool.
Where a person has more than five fingers per hand or more than five toes per foot.
So they're aliens.
Yeah. And you can see that here. You know, and Paul even covered a family that had like a ton of members that all had this going on, or a lot of them did.
Yeah, yeah.
So I looked up a sort of similar related condition called ectrodactyly, which is when... It's also known as lobster hands or split hand malformation.
People.
Here you see it on a pair of feet because it can also affect those. So individuals with this disorder have a cleft where the middle finger or middle toe should be. So instead of having a middle finger, you just have a cleft, and often the remaining digits are kind of fused together like this.
Dude, it looks like you could hella grip a tree trunk with this, though.
Yeah.
So maybe it's supposed to be.
Maybe this is just an adaptation. Maybe this is just a tree
climbing
perk.
Maybe back in the day, these were the people that we would send to climb up on the trees and be lookouts and shit.
This genetic malfunction generally happens when there are some deletions, translocations, and inversions in chromosome number 7. So there was a freak show performer by the name of Grady Stiles who had ectrodactyly. And he performed under the name Lobster Boy. He was not the only performer to use this moniker. There were actually many Lobster Boys at many freak show attractions across, you know, the country.
Come see the astonishing Lobster Boy.
And but he's the most interesting of the Lobster Boys to me, probably because he's got an interesting story. Let's just read about it. So let's go ahead and. Talk about his becoming Lobster Boy. So Grady Stiles Jr., who would become known as Lobster Boy, was born in Pittsburgh in 1937. At that point, his father was already part of the freak show circuit, adding his kids with ectrodactyly to the act. Grady Stiles Jr.'s case was pretty severe. In addition to his hands, he also had it in his feet and therefore could not walk. So I don't... Maybe they should have tried to put him on the tree, though, you know?
Man, he got a... seriously. Put him in the jungle.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I actually know this story because it's so crazy. But yeah, go ahead.
He got a double helping of bullshit in his life.
So for the most of his life, he primarily used a wheelchair. But He also learned to use his upper body to pull himself across the floor with impressive strength. So as he grew up, he became alarmingly strong, something that would benefit his homicidal rage later in life.
Whoa.
Story just got a little more interesting, yeah, didn't it?
It took a little twist.
If you haven't heard the story, Paul, it gets gruesome.
Are you familiar with this at all?
I'm not.
I am, so, and I don't want to ruin it.
So throughout his childhood, Styles and his family toured with the carnival circuit, spending the off-season in Gibsonton, Florida, as many carnies did.
Florida man.
The family did well. They made anywhere between $50,000 to $80,000 per season.
Wow, that's in like the 30s, 40s?
That's some crazy money for the
time. I didn't know they were making that much money.
And unlike a freak show act that didn't have to subject themselves to anything more than curious stares. So basically, you know, he could still kind of exist in public and shit, despite the fact that he's this crazy freak show attraction.
Right.
Styles grew up in this carnival world, and so it wasn't surprising that as a young man he fell in love with another carnival worker, a young woman named Maria. Some sources say Mary Teresa. So Maria Teresa, who had run away to join the circus as a teenager.
Damn.
Was she the bearded lady?
I don't know. She wasn't part of an act, just a staff member, so no. But she fell in love with Styles and the two married. Together, they had two children, and like his father before him, introduced the children with ectrodactyly to the family business. So here he is. Here he is, this lobster boy. As the children grew up, particularly Styles' daughter, Kathy, who did not have ectrodactyly and was therefore somewhat the apple of her father's eye, the Styles family legacy began to take a rather dark turn. Styles drank, and combined with his overpowering upper body strength, he became abusive towards his wife and children. At one point, he allegedly used his claw-like hand to rip his wife's IUD from within her body during a fight.
And what?
Yeah, this dude was brutal.
And would use his hands to choke her, something they were seemingly designed to do well. So you've got this lobster boy pincher wrapped around your neck from a dude who apparently had almost superhuman strength. The worst was yet to come, however. When Grady Styles' teenage daughter Donna fell in love with a young man that he didn't approve of, he demonstrated his fatal strength. No one's exactly sure what happened. Either Styles went to see his daughter's fiancé at his home or invited the young man over under the guise of giving his blessing for the wedding planned the next day. However it began, on the eve of the wedding, Styles picked up his shotgun and murdered his daughter's fiancé in cold blood.
Guess he could use a gun.
Yep, no problem there. So he soon went to trial, having admitted to his act with no remorse whatsoever, but pointed out that he couldn't possibly be imprisoned. No jail could handle his disability, and to confine him to prison would be cruel and unusual punishment. He also, by this time, had acquired liver cirrhosis from drinking and had emphysema from years of cigarette smoking. The court realized they had no counterargument, as it was true that the prisons were not well-equipped to deal with many disabilities, certainly not Styles' incredibly rare one. So they let him off with 15 years probation,
yep,
and he returned home. Lobster Boy had, by this time, divorced his first wife, remarried another woman, and had two more children. He proceeded to subject them to his drunken rampages, and eventually his second wife divorced him. For reasons that no one, either in the Styles family or outside of it, has been able to understand, his first wife agreed to remarry him in 1989.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Maria Teresa and her now grown children were not without their limits. Grady Styles had evaded prison and gained a sense of being above the law, and thus the beatings became more severe. His wife had finally reached her breaking point. A few years after she remarried Styles, she paid her 17-year-old neighbor, Chris Wyant, $1,500 to kill him.
Damn.
Maria Teresa's son from another marriage, Glenn, helped her conceive the idea and carry out the plan. One night, Wyant took a .32-caliber Colt automatic he had a friend purchase for him in Styles' trailer and shot him dead at point-blank range. Not one of them denied that they had intended to kill Grady Styles. During the trial, his wife spoke at length about his abusive history. "My husband was going to kill my family," she told the court. "I believe that from the bottom of my heart." At least one of their children, Kathy, testified against him as well. The jury convicted Wyant of second-degree murder and sentenced him to 27 years in prison. They charged his wife and his son Glenn with first-degree murder. She received a sentence of 12 years in prison. She unsuccessfully appealed her conviction and began to serve her sentence in February of 1997. She had tried to get Glenn to take a plea bargain, but he refused. The court sentenced him to life in prison. Just as a significant portion of his living family was being tried for his murder, Grady Stiles' body was put to rest, or unrest as it were. Lobster Boy was so disliked, not just in his family, but within the community, that the funeral home could not find anyone willing to be pallbearers.
That's kind of sad. You know what I mean? That's kind of sad. Nobody would carry this dude's casket?
Guess not.
Damn.
I think it's kind of fucked up that he murders someone, and then he's just like, prison system can't really handle me. They're like, no, damn, you're right. 15 years probation for you.
His family murders him and fucking does serious jail time.
And then they get way fucking harsher sentences for murdering his fucking obviously unworthy fucking ass.
Well, you know,
they say justice is blind, TJ.
Dude, that has got to be the scariest hit, though. You got to kill this crazy strong lobster thing that lives in that house over there. You do it quick.
The murder of
lobster. He'll come at you with those hands that are just like specially designed to choke a neck.
He just has fucking two claws, man.
You wouldn't believe how strong he is, Scotty. Once you get in his grip,
you don't get out.
It's over for you.
Time Patreon time, Paul.
Why do you start so negative, TJ?
Why are you negative, Paul? You fat? You a fat fuck, Paul?
That's true.
Get skinny like me, bitch! Join the fucking Patreon, you stupid fucks!
What the hell, dude?
This is human fucking perfection! You too can have this power!
But how?
Join the Patreon, bitch!
But TJ, how can I have the power? Please, how do I have it?
The power when I fucking kill your ass, bitch!
Oh my god, no!
That was cool. Wow. I never thought I'd see that happen outside of the movies.
Join the fucking Patreon, you pieces of shit!
There's a link.